taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Welcome back to Fast Break Friday, presented by AL81.
Crisp, clean, L.A.
Emanating from the ESPN Louisville studios and heard throughout the Commonwealth on the PNB Network.
Hi! Why do I not hear myself?
Did you unplug yourself?
Hey.
Oh, hey, I'm just saying.
Did
you apply for your PGA thing?
Yes.
All right, good.
Okay. We are going to continue doing this. The Ingram mess. That's what they used to call the show. Dan Ingram.
The Ingram mess?
Yeah.
That's kind of good.
Yeah, he was great. God rest his soul. Another guy who is great, but fortunately we don't have to rest his soul because he's still alive and kicking. Thank you. The voice of the NBA and my dear friend Mark Kestisher. Kesty, how are you, my friend?
It's good to be on with you guys. Not one V, I got double V.
Oh, yeah, double V.
Hi, Kesty. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
How's it going, Nicky? I heard we had a triple V the other day.
Yeah, how'd you find that out?
Little birdie told me.
Wow.
With some loose lips around the studio, so I get the scoop before I come on, just to make sure.
You always do your research, and you also, by the way, do an incredible job of you have a very gracious spirit. Every time something comes up in the business, in the broadcast business, there are some of these people I don't even know, although many of them I do know, at least know of. You always take a moment to send a little tweet out. Congratulations to Sam Schwenkenfelder, his 500th game. You always do that. And I don't know anybody else who does that. Honest to God, I really don't. That's really impressive. I just thought I'd
be honest. Schwenkenfelder had a really rough start to his career, so I had to make sure that he knew that was impressive. But in all honesty, sometimes I don't feel I deserve all this great success that has come my way, or at least opportunities. And so you get to that stage in life where you see everybody else having breakthroughs, and I just like to acknowledge it.
Well, you do a good job of that, my friend. So thank you for your generous spirit. It's certainly welcome in a world of not so generous spirits.
A lot of backstabbing and ego busting,
especially in this business. Yowza!
It can be rough. Rough out there.
All right, let us focus on the NBA playoffs, and let us start by focusing on where are you headed first. Where are you going to?
I am actually in New Orleans as we speak. We have a doubleheader tonight, the last two play-in games. Mr. George Sedano is in his native Miami for the first game, and Mr. Carlissimo, who's deciding between Chick-fil-A and Mother's right now, is with me in New Orleans.
Nice. Chick-fil-A. PJ doesn't strike me as a Chick-fil-A guy. Doesn't he have...
does not... And, It's amazing. That is his go-to lunch. You know, he needs a quick lunch. I think that would surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, because anybody who doesn't know, there's not a city, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, there's not a city in the NBA where if you happen to be there, or for most of the NCAA for that matter, if you're on the call with PJ where he doesn't know somebody who will open their kitchen if they have to at 1 o'clock in the morning. And it's not a Chick-fil-A. It's a restaurante, true restaurante.
We were at the All-Star Game in Salt Lake City. I guess that was the year before last. And there's a great restaurant called Valters, spelled with a W, pronounced Valters, in downtown Salt Lake City. And I say we set a record during the All-Star break. We went there four straight nights. Like, nobody, it's like, you know, nobody goes four straight nights. So anyway, PJ had first and second round NCAA tournament this year in Salt Lake City with Dave Pasch on Westwood One.
Nice.
And I see Dave like the Wednesday after the first round, and he comes right up to me and goes, "I don't know how you do this." And I said, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "We went to Valters five straight nights." I'm like, "He set the record again?"
you break your own record when you're PJ. Very impressive. So. All right, you got a good game tonight. You got New Orleans with the home court advantage because they finished higher than Sacramento for this last of the play-in game. Sacramento dispatched of Golden State, and now they'll take on New Orleans, a game that, according to ESPN Bet, is a point-and-a-half favorite for New Orleans, so it should be a very close game. But let's go back a little bit to the Golden State thumping. I mean, is it the king is dead? Long live the king. Are they done? Do they break that thing up now? What do you think happens there exactly?
Man, it feels like that window is just about shut. And the only thing, you know, keeping a little draft from flying through underneath is, you know, Steve Kerr coming out, you know, that night and the next day and, you know, kind of breathing life into, you know, we should bring Klay Thompson back. And, you know, Steph and Draymond Green are still under contract. And they really like their young pieces with Brandon Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis. But I just, you know, I don't know what the final tally is on that payroll and luxury tax. It's approaching $500 million. And a 10th place finish and an April exit is not equating to that money. So, look, they're going to have quite a set of discussions between now and the draft and free agency. It's hard to imagine, you know, that crew, you know, can get back to those, you know, the lofty levels they were at all these years to compete for a championship. So it's always hard, isn't it, when you have kind of the aging core of a dynasty, and when do you call it, when do you not? I mean, I'm not old enough to have remembered the early 60 Yankees who kind of ran that, you know, great long run that spanned from the 40s
right
into the early 60s, and then it just died.
Yeah, so
and
the bottom
for a long
just fell
time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was gone for like over a decade, and you could almost see that happening where let's just run this to the very end, to the end of Curry's career, to the end of Steve Kerr's career, and then we'll just pick up the pieces when we do. But it's hard to imagine in the Western Conference that is, you know, we see right now so many teams that are younger and have a brighter, you know, ceiling that they can compete. I mean, they're going to be competitive. You know, maybe they get, you know, a six seed. They win a few games. They lost a ton of games they should have won this year. They could have easily been a fifth or sixth, and now the whole narrative is different. They still might not win the championship, but that's the balance they have right now. Is this was a team that should have won, you know, 8 to 10 more games. They lost a ton of one-point games and overtime games this year, but they're aging, and it's, you know, that was hard to watch the other night.
Mark Kestisch, the voice of the NBA, with us. Do you know where you're going from here? What's your first round true playoff series?
I do. We'll be in Boston Sunday against either Miami or Chicago, and then PJ and I are doing Sunday, Monday. We will make the short trip to New York City for Knicks Sixers Monday night. So exciting 4 days up ahead.
All right, let's break it down. Break it down for the people. The series, the Sixers and the Knicks as the 2 seed, the Sixers as the 7 seed, although that's a bit misleading. You don't really know because Embiid was out for so long. That series is considered by many kind of a toss-up, even though the Knicks are the only other team in the East to win 50 games besides Boston. Milwaukee right behind with 49. So you've got the Knicks taking on the number 7 seed 76ers. You've got Celtics. You don't know who they're playing yet because that depends on what goes on tonight. You got Milwaukee taking on Indiana and Cleveland taking on Orlando. Let's start in the East before we go to the West, which I think the West is – if the West were its own league, it'd be damned entertaining. It is wild, but of course, when you look at it, Boston 14 games better than anybody else in the East. Here's the softballiest question ever: is it their Eastern Conference championship to lose, Kesty?
Yeah, it feels like Boston or the field, right?
Right,
and you could say that all the way through. They were just so good this year. I remember we did a game in Miami right before the All-Star break. And like Celtics fans are, okay, let's bottle this up. Let's put them all in bubble wrap and let's just tell me when it's April 20th. And I want this team that's playing right now, whatever their record was, 33-7. And we want them to start on April 10th. And amazingly, they kept it up all season long. They were pretty good with health. I know Porzingis was out at times and Drew Holiday late. I love the starting five, the reserves that will play in a limited rotation are not household names, but are really, good, quality guys that have helped out. And there just seems to be such a ledge between them and the next teams below them. Although the Knicks finished so strong, and put themselves in really good position. I agree with you. I mean, the Philly New York series, to me, is amazing that we'll have a first round. And I got to see how Joel Embiid's going to look. He didn't look great the other night. I don't know if that was rust or if that's, a more serious issue with the knee as he comes back from that. But to me, that's just a terrific series for two teams that don't have to worry about Boston until the conference finals. And, I'm just fascinated. I know Orlando Cleveland's going to get, the series on NBA TV Plus digital version that nobody will see, most times. I'm looking forward to that one. And then I have no idea what to expect from Milwaukee. I mean, zero.
Yeah.
I loved Indiana early this year. Halliburton has had a terrific season. They're really talented. That game, that's going to be average like 125 plus for both sides. That'll be an entertaining series, but I don't know what to expect, especially if we don't know what's going on with Giannis and the Cavs.
Well, before we go to the West, because your point, to amplify your point, you got Boston with 64 wins, but then let me just contrast the two conferences. New York at second place had 50 wins. Philadelphia with seventh place had 47 wins. So they're only separated by three games. And then everybody else, that means even closer. Milwaukee 49 wins at third place. Cleveland 48. Orlando 47. Indiana 47. So that's how close they were. Contrast that with the Western Conference, where the second place team, Denver, won 57 games, and the seventh place team, now with the Lakers, who will have played their way into that game, only won 47 games. There was 10 game separation between the second place team and the seventh place team in the West. 56 wins for Minnesota, third, and 49 for Phoenix, sixth. So 7 game separation there. So you got the Western Conference, 10 game separation between 2 and 7, 7 games between 3 and 6. In the East, those separations were 3 games and 2 games. So, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what to make of that, because on the other hand, I think there's a lot of good teams, though, in the West. To me, the West seems even more uncertain than the East, even though there seemingly is more of a gap in the standings. Kesty, what about that?
I agree. And you look at the teams at the top. I mean, Denver, we know from winning the championship last year, but Oklahoma City and Minnesota, who are right there with Denver, any of those three teams could have been the number one seed based on the last day of the season. So there's little separation there. And then go to the bottom, where look at the team. I'm staring at Smoothie King Center right out my hotel window right now. The Pelicans are the best road team in the NBA. They've lost 6 straight here in this building. And this will be their third chance to clinch a playoff berth. They could have got the 6th seed if they beat the Lakers on Sunday. They could have got the 7th seed if they beat the Lakers on Tuesday. And now they got one more chance against Sacramento, to get the 8th seed. So at the bottom, you had such little separation. Phoenix ends up winning a tiebreaker with New Orleans that puts them, in the playoffs. They get a week of rest. They're playing well down the stretch. So it changes that whole mentality. And then you've got, teams at the bottom of the West that were forced to play a winner-take-all. And like we talked with Golden State, their season snuffed out with a loss. Pelicans get two chances because they were in the 7-8 game. And again, they had multiple chances at home to make sure they didn't end up 7-10 and didn't. So I see very close at the top. I see what could have been at the bottom, you know, teams that could easily have been in the middle. I see a matchup with Phoenix and Minnesota,
yep,
which as good of a season as the Timberwolves have had this year. Hey, you're the 3 seed and you get to face, you know, Booker and Durant and Beal having won, I think it was like 11 of 14 down the stretch, something like that. And on top of that, they beat Minnesota 3-0 in their 3 games this season. So that's the best part of the West for me. I think you hit it on the head. It's tight. You can give Denver the Boston treatment and say they're the defending champs and it rolls through Denver. And maybe it does. But I would not be surprised with any, once we get to these final 8 teams, of any of these matchups going in any weird direction, maybe even low seeds, you know, getting through this first round.
Our mutual friend, Seth Greenberg's brother, Brad, who you may or may not know, used to be a front office executive in the NBA, and he told me 15 years ago, he said, if you want to get a very, very reliable snapshot for who really the quality teams are, only look at one thing. And I said, oh, Brad, what's that? He said, look at their road records. That's absolutely the best yardstick. And to that point, maybe this really underscores what he's talking about. In the West, the top 6 teams, the teams that quote-unquote are in the playoffs, their away records were all well over 500. 24-17, 24-17, 26-15, 26-15, 25-16, 24-17. That's the top six. New Orleans, 28-14 away. They've had trouble at home. They should try and play this game away. They should go somewhere, play somewhere else. But in the East, perfect example, Milwaukee's a 3 seed. They were 18-22 away. Orlando, 5 seed, 18-23 away. So I don't know. Maybe that it certainly leads you to think that somebody in the West can steal one on the road more likely perhaps than they will in the East. Boston was very good home anyway, 37-4 at home, and they're going to have home court advantage all the way through. So it's certainly, unless something drastic happens, looks like they'll be there. But how much reliability do you put in that as a snapshot for teams, Kesty?
You know, that's a great snapshot. I hadn't really heard that before. And Brad, by the way, I think, because I've heard so many PJ stories over the year, I think Brad was in Portland or Golden State when PJ was a head coach, when he first left Seton Hall.
I think he was.
He might have went from Portland to Golden State with Brad. I'm not sure. But I know.
That's right. So they know each other.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they've been there. But no, I think that's a great indicator. You know, it isn't always how you finish the regular season, because in years past, and this season may not be indicative because there was so much on the line right to the last day. You know, teams resting players, other teams tanking, you know, for playoff, you know, for draft positioning. So this season we didn't really get a good indicator, you know, on final 10 games or final 12 games. But I like the road record thing, and that would be a nice, interesting twist that no one would ever take. But Pelicans lose at home to the Lakers. And would you rather go to Sacramento or do you want to stay here? Well, we've lost 6 in a row here. We're back
going on the road.
We're going to Sacramento, baby. And it's interesting because I think, I haven't done the geographical work, but I think New Orleans is the farthest east team in the Western Conference. I don't know if Milwaukee beats them. I have to draw a straight
line. No, I think you're right. I think it's New Orleans. I'm pretty sure it's New Orleans.
I think so, too, because there was a lot of talk about the Lakers, you know, had to come to New Orleans to end the season. They may have to go to the West Coast for a play-in and then come back to New Orleans for a second play-in. But it actually works out for both teams here, because whoever wins this game, as you pointed out, is headed to Oklahoma City, another team that's not really West. You know, it's in the middle of the country. So, you know, from a travel perspective, it works out. But I do think when you go on the road, the good teams, I mean, that's all teams are going to bond. But on the road is where you kind of get the judge of the teams that, you know, like to go out, perhaps, maybe keep late hours into the wee hours, and others who, you know, do the film work, take care of the body, and, you know, treat it like a business trip. And so I think those business trip teams are all those teams you mentioned, especially in the Western Conference.
Two quick things before we let you go. Mark Kestershue with us from ESPN, the voice of the NBA. You've got, for ESPN Radio, you've got a game coming up. I know it's the other game, and you're obviously preparing for your game, but you got two very important players apparently who are going to be out on the other side. At least that's what I heard last. What do you make of the injury situation? I guess Jimmy Butler is one, and actually, it's in your game, right? Zion, is he going to play or what?
What's the Zion, yeah. Two big players and very similar. Well, Zion, I guess, is a hamstring, but from what we've been told, and I think what Woj reported was, and in both cases, it is not a day-to-day injury. It is a week's injury, like 4-week injury. So I think both teams, especially Miami, Jimmy Butler's is, that could be 4 to 6 weeks. You may be talking, you got to make the finals before he could come back. I don't even know if he'd be back for the conference finals. Zion with a hamstring, I guess it depends on, what grade it is, and I haven't heard that. But, he's not coming back anytime soon, too. So, to me, and I think good news for Chicago, Alex Caruso, it sounded like, is going to play.
Yeah.
A big piece for them defensively. I can't think of a better opportunity to salvage your season than what the Chicago Bulls are facing tonight. Yes, they're on the road. That was a tremendous win against Atlanta. It wasn't even a game. Kobe White goes off. And yes, they have to go on the road, and none of us want to kill the Heat until we see the clocks hit zero. Because just think, last year this time, the Bulls were leading by 3 points, like with 3 minutes to go in this exact game.
I watched that game.
And lost. Yeah. And then Miami goes on to a finals run. So you don't count them out. I just don't see how they have enough offense, Miami, tonight. I mean, they've been offensively challenged all year. And now you lose Jimmy Butler. I mean, Bam Adebayo's going to have a huge game. Tyler Hero's going to have an efficient game. He can score, but, he shoots, he takes the volume of shots and sometimes, will make some strange decisions. So he's got to have a perfect game. I just think the Bulls are better than their season record indicates. They got off to a terrible start. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I think they were 5-14.
Yeah, they were really
at the start of the year.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so if you take that out, that's not as bad of a team as their record suggests. And I know they don't have, I haven't had Zach LaVine, forever. But Kobe White has stepped out of those shadows. They haven't had Lonzo Ball for 2 years. That's not a bad team. With Vucevic, his production's been down a little bit this year than usual. But they have DeMar DeRozan, who's a great pro. I think it's a great opportunity for them tonight in Miami. And even to make life, look, I don't know how they can get a game off of Boston, or maybe they can get a couple games off of Boston. But, I like how Chicago's been playing, so this is a great opportunity for them. And here in New Orleans, I think that the name for me is Brandon Ingram. He's coming back from some injury. He looked about as frustrated as I've ever seen him look. He doesn't show a lot of emotion. He doesn't show a lot of anything. He's just a really good player. But he looked really frustrated, and everyone said he had an amazing practice. Now, I put that with my trips, to hit golf balls before I go out. I'm on the range, and I hit like seven. I smoke seven straight with my driver down the middle, and then shank it on one. Everyone said he didn't miss a shot yesterday in practice. They need him tonight, big time. He and CJ McCollum.
Both games 1.5, 1.5 points the spread. So the public sees these as very competitive games. And you'll hear Kesty on the New Orleans Sacramento call the second of the doubleheader. I want to ask you about this. This will be sensitive, and I don't want to put you in a hard spot, but I got a different kind of take on it. The situation with Jontay Porter getting suspended for life by the NBA for after a gambling probe for sharing confidential information with gamblers. And people like, oh, see, here's the problem now when you allow legalized gambling in sports. I look at it exactly the opposite. That's how they found out about it. Because the people who are in charge of the gambling websites and the professionals that know how to run their business said, this is something untoward is going on here, and they can alert the league. People are going to bet on sports, whether you make it legal or not. So, now at least you have some accountability, and I think it sends a pretty strong message to players. Hey, we're not kidding about this kind of stuff. And I don't think it's a sign of a calamity. Maybe I'm just putting a bow tie on a pig, but I think it's an indication that it makes sense, that what they're doing makes sense, and if they've got professionals, doing what they do on these websites, it's going to be able to hold people accountable and keep it on the up and up. What do you say about that?
I'm glad you pointed that out, because that's an important piece is, how does someone find out somebody of Jontay Porter's status, is doing something illicit? You know, his brother, Michael Porter, obviously is, you know, the big fish in the family. Who's paying attention to Jonte?
Right.
And I don't know all the details. I remember before the details came out, I remember hearing about there were some prop bets and, you know, he came in below those, which, you know, you can, if you're the player, you can certainly manipulate that if you know what certain numbers are. And he was sick, I guess, and came out of a game early. And again, is he sick? Is he not? So things
right.
get a little odd. But you're right. There were guards, fail safes, you know, that they saw X amount of money coming in on certain prop bets. And this was happening more than once. And so now 17 red flags raised and you have an investigation. And so you're right. It's unfortunate that a young man has, you know, thrown away his basketball career over something which seems so silly. And yet it could provide, you know, a big signpost to everybody else. Oh, yeah, we probably shouldn't do this. Just like I just saw, I had no idea, the Colorado Rockies, Hensley Mullins, I think he's the hitting coach.
Yes.
Posted a video of him sitting in the pilot seat of a United flight. And it's like, is it worth it? Is it worth it to post that? And now there's a federal investigation going on. So, you know, just got to be more careful and certainly not think you're above certain rules.
Amen to that, brother. Have a good call, my friend. Say hi to PJ for me, and thanks for spending some time with us. You take care, and we'll catch up with you down the road. Thanks.
Always good to be on the V Experience, and PJ sends his best.
All right.
I still don't know what he's had for lunch, but I'll get back to you.
I'll look for that on X, on Twitter. All right, brother. Take care.
See ya.
Night.
Bye, Cassidy.
No, he already said goodbye. He's done.
Can we rebrand the V Show to the V Experience? I kind of like that.
The V Experience.
I kind of like the V Experience. We can make T-shirts.
I mean, it does describe the show.
My official logo shirt.
Yeah, where did you get that? I'm always jealous you have that.
Right, well, I'm going to order more of them. I'm going to order T-shirts, and then I want to order a couple of collared shirts, the polos, and we could all have one.
Me, Tanner.
It's this company. Me and Julio. I don't know, this is the company that did it. Joseph Johnson Promotions. They used to do stuff for us. It's old. This thing's old.
We need to get our friends, maybe our friends from T-Shirt Hooligans also, to make some T-shirts. Because we got to have...
Well, they could use this. This was a professionally designed logo that they did for me in Connecticut.
Really?
Yeah. So.
I like it.
Thanks.
Do you have the JPEG for it anyway?
He does. They do.
Okay.
Call them.
Joseph and Johnson Promotions.
Not Joseph and Johnson. Joseph Johnson.
Joseph Johnson Promotions. Yeah. JJP. No, because I want a shirt. I know Tulio wants one, too.
Sure. No, I would staff everybody here with them, and then we could give them out as our prizes, like for various contests. You know, T-shirts, not polo shirts. Too expensive. T-shirts we could do.
We
don't have that kind of budget. What do you think we are? Like Arkansas basketball? We don't have that kind of money.
We need a whale. Although they did, the NIL, the 502 Circle, they hit their goal of $1 million.
Congratulations, boys and ladies.
Yeah. So
well done.
They hit their goal.
That got announced after the Khalifa signing, so.
Yeah, the million-dollar match. They hit it, so good.
We got JQ on campus right now.
Yeah. We coined a T-shirt that we're going to make for Middays with Marcus Maven. We can add it to the, you know, the repertoire.
Marcus Maven, certainly, yeah.
It was, it's Don't Smell the Recruits.
I don't have a clue what that means.
We were talking about how, you know, if you see the recruits out and about, say hi to them, make them feel welcome, but don't be weird. Don't be like the UK fans calling a Mexican restaurant to try to get Drew.
Did you see Justin's tweet? It was like, let me know if he's at El Nepal and I'll give him a call. And I was like, hey, let's not do that.
Yeah.
It did not work out.
No, that did not work. So no stalking anybody or anything. And so we were saying, you know, don't be weird around the recruits. Don't smell them. So that's going to be one of our sayings.
Don't smell them. In general.
No, well,
you shouldn't smell.
No,
I mean you shouldn't smell.
No, you should not smell, but unless you smell good. Cuz
no, that's true.
Cuz that's the thing. I've gotten and I need to make sure I don't get like deemed like, you know, like the
what do you mean? You already are. I don't even know where you're going with that, but
I need to make sure I'm not creepy. But no. I smell people here at the station. I don't like sneak up behind them
and
be like
stuff?
I
help himself.
No, because
You're going to be out and about, and then it's going to be like, oh, that's the kid that smells people.
I don't sneak up behind him and go.
Kid. You're older than me.
Like, I don't do that. I'm like, you know what? I'm a human. I have five senses, more than that, actually, because there's like the sense of balance, sense of time, things like that. But, you know, one of the main five senses is smell. So I smell just like everybody else. And so when someone comes in and smells good, I try to compliment them because we are a business. where a lot of us smell like cheese and insecurity. So when somebody comes in smelling good, like Anna Tarullo, like my man Steve Rummage, like Sofaro, like James, like myself sometimes, I want to compliment them.
Oh, you don't just smell. Had to add yourself in, huh?
No, because I'm wearing cologne and deodorant today. I feel like I smell okay. You smell pretty good.
Here's
but
my
you
information
don't...
for you. If you want to smell like Frank Sinatra, and I have this. It's hard to find. You got to look for it online. You have to get Agua Lavenda.
Oh, okay.
Agua Lavanda. That was Sinatra's choice. Very subtle, lavender-based scent. Agua Lavanda. That's his cologne. Now, believe it or not, there's a website that shows you. You want to smell like people?
I do want to smell like people.
Dean Martin used to do use Would You, W-O-O-D-H-U-E, Would You, the only fragrance Dean Martin would wear. John Lennon wore Eau, I don't know how you pronounce it. I never know how you do that. E-A-U. How do you pronounce that? Like Eau de Cologne?
I think it's
Eau. Hey, ask a reluctant Maria. What does she have to say about that?
Type that. Can you type into Google Translate?
He doesn't contact Maria, does he?
No.
Tulio, you know.
I might be weird and I smell, but I have a way with women. I know reluctant Maria.
Yes. No, she's great. Pronounce E-A-U. Here it is. Here we go. Gotta listen to it right now. I think this is the guy, though.
With Domino's Rewards, you can earn free Domino's after every two orders. Really? It's as easy as one,
cutting it off,
two,
just, they
piss
me off, so just have your fun.
Bonjour, this is Julian, the Frenchman who makes French pronunciation videos here on YouTube, and we are looking at how to say...
I like this guy, but he takes forever
in
to
French.
Say it.
How do you pronounce this word? It's pretty straightforward in the end. You must know that the letters E-A-U together come down to the sound O.
O.
So it's not O, but just the beginning of when you say O, just O.
O.
Sounds like a...
French. It was so perfectly French. He took 2 minutes to do one syllable, and then he got mad at you if you say O, which is too long. It's just the beginning of it. O. O. O.
Sounds like...
No, not O. O.
When you hit someone in Minecraft. O.
O. Well, that was Dean Martin's.
So it's O.
Oh, no, that was actually, we were to John Lennon's. Yeah.
It's O to what?
I'll find it for you again. I lost it.
What does O mean? What's that translate?
Water.
To? Water. So water of something? Of roses?
It was O-S-A-U-V-A-G-E. So you probably have to look that up. That's got to be French. O Sauvage. Didn't he play wing for the Canadiens?
I think so.
The Pastor Eau Sauvage. He
played with Marcel Dion and Guy Lafleur, I believe.
Absolutely. After he met Yoko, though, he had to switch to witch hazel, a rosewater scent. She made change his perfume. What's up with that, Yoko?
I didn't think I liked rosewater, but I love rosewater.
A little bourbon, you mean?
No, it's great. I mean, I have a soap that has like rosewater scent, and I effing love it.
Papa Hemingway, Ernest Hemingway,
showering with
favored the masculine musky fragrance of America 131 by Kriegler. Got its name because it consists of 31 different scents mixed together. That sounds like your kind of cologne.
Have you ever seen the video of John Lennon and Chuck Berry and they're like playing and then Oko's like in the background with a microphone and they start like singing a song and then Oko just goes like some crazy scream and then you just see Chuck Berry's face like, what is going on? And then you just slowly hear like her mic get turned down, but she's still trying to scream in the background. It's very funny.
Brad Pitt wears Lorenzo Villarisi Musk. I've never heard of any of these.
I've never heard of these.
These are ones that are not sold at your local Target.
I don't know if I would want to buy a cologne that has the word musk in it.
Oh, why?
Oh, no. You
I
do.
Love musk.
Musky.
Musk is my favorite scent.
I don't know. See, like it's.
I just always put that word with like. Negative, like a bad smell.
A musk?
No,
sometimes, no.
No, like a musky. You're talking about a musky basement, but I think you're
thinking, no, he's thinking musty, but no.
Yeah,
like,
musty, right. He's
no, but
musty.
Tanner's right in this sense, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, buddy. A lot of times when people say they got BO or something, they've used the term like, oh boy, you got a musk.
Never
you
heard
got,
that
yeah. So, like, so it's been our generation has kind of started to use it as
a derogatory.
Yeah. But what does musk like
Michael
smell
Jackson's
like?
Cologne was Jean Desprez Balaversailles. Didn't anybody wear Brute?
Polo?
I use that for aftershave, actually. Brute.
Brute is great. Right.
Brute's great. Brute, I love Brute.
Also, I would jokingly tell people that my family owned that company. And
believe Brute Omesso?
That.
To the shirt for Brute Omesso.
And the trash can company, but that's Brute.
Right.
People, they're dumb, so
here's the truth.
Yeah.
You may not want to know this, but you're going to be stuck with it because I'm telling it to you right now. Musk is a class of aromatic substances commonly used as base notes in perfumery. All right, that's so far so good. However, they include glandular secretions from animals, such as the musk deer, numerous plants emitting similar fragrances, and artificial substances with similar odors. Musk was a name originally given to a substance with a strong odor obtained from the gland of a musk deer. The substance has been used as a popular perfume fixative since ancient times and is one of the most expensive animal products in the world.
So you get, I'm assuming it's an anal gland.
I don't know. Why would you assume that?
Because isn't that where everything sprays from?
No. The deer gland that is thought to resemble a scrotum. You asked. You didn't have to ask. You could have just let it sit there.
So it's a scrotum? You're taking scrotum secretions, and that's the base of... Hey, look.
Hi, Nick Valvano here for my new scent. Deer scrotum secretions. You're going to love this. These are gotten fresh every day from the Putnam Park Forest. We go out there, we find the deers, and we just squeeze away.
No, you have to have, because cologne commercials are the most bat spit crazy things ever. It has to be like Tanner and I, like underwater, like fighting like a bear over like a giant pearl, and then we're in space and we're high fiving, you know, Dusty May. Like, that's seriously that, like, the cologne commercials are the most bad. I mean, they're ridiculous. Johnny Depp is just in the middle of a desert burying like costume jewelry while a lion walks by. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous.
Wow.
Speaking about smell, did you guys hear what happened with the Jags GM?
No.
I think it's Trent Baalke, I'm going to say his name is. But this is what happened during his press conference.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet.
What do you do?
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final.
Did he fart or burp?
He farted.
That's a fart. Yeah,
that was a fart.
It wasn't very loud. It didn't make a noise. It just
you could hear it. That was audible.
Do it again.
Still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the.
Yeah.
Sounded more like sounded like a fluff more than
a fluff.
Yeah,
It didn't sound wet. That's the important thing.
That would have been funny if it was wet. And he's like, "All right, wait, I'll be back. Give me 5 minutes."
Benji just texted in. He said, "What the hell is going on the V show right now? They're talking about Ascalans."
Well, we're talking about colognes, really. So I would like to know from listeners, because no disrespect, I'm quite certain the colognes that Dean Martin wore and John Lennon and Frank Sinatra, I found it's hard to find. You can find it, the Agua Lavenda. It's good. It's very subtle. But like, what is a do you wear a cologne / aftershave that's kind of more run of the mill? Like, do you, and if you do, what is it? Do you wear Old Spice? Do you wear Brute?
I'm an Old Spice
guy.
I was a Brute guy as
Brute
a kid.
Brute is fantastic.
I love Brute.
I want to go back to Brute. That was my high school.
I had some Brute somewhere that I lost. I think I took it on a trip and I lost it. But I need to get some more Brute. Because Brute, in a pinch, Brute.
No, Brute is spectacular.
Brute's fantastic. I like Brute.
What else is out there? What other ones are out there?
Are you talking aftershave or deodorant?
No, not deodorant. Cologne. Like, cologne? What's the best-selling cologne in the world? It's got to be Old Spice, right?
No, I don't think so. Because Old Spice is more deodorant and body sprays and everything.
This conversation.
Best-selling men's cologne.
This one reminds me of the Anchorman scene.
Oh, Sex Panther?
Sex Panther. It's got bits of panther in it. It's completely illegal.
What's it say?
Brian, this kind of smells like gasoline.
It smells like burnt hair.
Yeah.
Okay, here are the 20 best. These make sense. You've heard of these. Ralph Lauren Polo Blue.
Right.
Polo, that's good.
That's literally what I put on today. No joke.
Let's go smell them. Calvin Klein 1.
Okay.
Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue.
Okay.
Armani. Don't know that one.
I had a thing of Armani that I bought that was probably a knockoff in New York, and I don't know whatever happened to it.
I think this might be a variation. Somebody look up what Sauvage means. Yep. S-A-U-V-A-G-E. Because it says Dior Sauvage. And that's the one that Lennon wore, but it was Eau de Sauvage.
So what does Sauvage translate?
Yes.
Translation.
This one, from Men's Health, the best modern masculine scent. Ooh. Dior Sauvage.
Sauvage is a French term meaning wild or natural.
Water of wild. Wild water.
Wild water.
This cologne has taken the world by storm since its debut in 2015. One of the best-selling men's colognes of all
time.
Can
I see it? What's it look like? Sauvage. Yeah. So yeah, I recognize that.
That's a good one.
I don't have that one, but I recognize it.
Then Ralph Lauren Polo Blue is second, as I said. Calvin Klein 1 is third. Armani Beauty Acqua Di Gio is fourth. And Dolce & Gabbana Light Blue is fifth. And I think that's it. Oh, no, here's some more. Verace Eros.
Yeah, that's the one I have. Yeah, it's like turquoise.
That's sixth on the list.
Versace Eros, yeah.
Seventh is Creed Aventus.
That's the one that... not that Creed. Not Scott Stapp and Company. That's the one that Steve was wearing yesterday. It's very good. It smells like... It's sporty.
Okay, yeah, I like
it. And so I said it kind of...
I don't like fruity ones.
No.
I don't like fruity scents. I like sporty, I like fresh... Like lavender-ish, yeah. And I also love musky ones. I love musky ones.
Yeah, well, this was a very sporty one, and I insulted him because I said it smells like Adidas Moves, like the middle school cologne that we all had.
You got mad at that?
No, I said it smelled like that, but like it got its PhD. I ruffled Steve's feathers. He's like, yeah, no, thanks. Compare my $500 cologne to, you know.
$500 cologne? How much is he making here? I've got to go ask for a raise.
Oh, no.
Chanel Bleu de Chanel.
I've heard of Chanel.
It's ninth on the list.
I like Bleu de Chanel.
Tenth is Le Labo Santel 33. It's a sandalwood scent. I don't love sandalwood.
I don't know what that smells like.
Versace Dylan Blue is the best long-lasting scent.
Ooh, I could use that.
I didn't realize there were all these categories. Yves Saint Laurent, a warm weather scent that stands out. Yves Saint Laurent Y. That's the name of that one. Look at us just cranking out colognes I'd never heard of. The best blend of citrus and spice. This would not interest me at all. Issey Miyake. Lieu de Issey. I don't know what that means.
Issey Miyake. Is this Japanese or French?
I don't know.
I don't know either. That was a very honest answer. Yeah, I don't know.
Hugo Boss. Hugo, man. Hugo. I know that one.
Oh, yeah. I don't recognize the logo, but I've...
A scent that's sweet, but not too sweet. Oh, and this one I love, too. The three right now I'm going to go on, and there are three. That one is very, very everyday, is Brut. Then Sinatra's Agua Lavanda.
I want to get
that
one.
And then this one. I forgot. I used to love this. Obsession for Men.
Oh, yeah. Obsession. Oh, Obsession was good.
That's
We just
fantastic.
Had a caller calling Carlos. Awesome conversation. And he was like, I just put on Brut today.
Attaboy.
Carlos. Attaboy Los.
And I was like, I jokingly tell people I own it. And he's like, you definitely do. With that last name, I was like, thank you, Carlos. Carlos is the man.
Another good one.
Thank you, Carlos.
Another longtime favorite, Paco Rabanne.
Yeah, I've heard of that one. What's that one look like? Just like Hugo Boss, I've heard of them, but I've never actually seen them. Oh, okay.
Mont Blanc Explorer, that you can double as a pen. Valentino Umo Born, a woodsy scent. Probably why I don't know that, because I don't love the woodsy scents. So there you go. But you go to Men's Health, man, and they break it down by every category in America. That was impressive stuff right there. But those are my three. I'm staying. They haven't persuaded me otherwise. Session for Men, Brut, which is your everyday. You could put that on water. And then the Agua Lavanda.
I've always wondered what they put in there that makes these things smell so good and last that long. Because, I mean, if you put cologne on, that said that one's long-lasting, but the Versace Eros, the one that I have, I mean, two sprays on the wrist, and I can smell it all the way through a work shift. How do they, put...
This will be the last thing we do on that, but I'm going to tell you.
And also, how did they realize these things smell good? Like, who went to a deer and took the stuff out of that gland and was like, you know what, by Jove, this smells like magic. I'm going to rub it all over my body and find a mate.
The difference between eau de perfume and eau de toilette, which is perfume and toilet water, what's the difference?
Wait, what?
You didn't know that?
Toilet water?
That's what's called.
Oh, like something you would, spray in the bathroom to, freshen up.
No, You know that that's a. I'm explaining. It's essentially like a perfume, but it is not as strong.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's the it's the concentration of aromatic compounds within the fragrance. So Eau de Toilette is much lighter and consequently is much less expensive.
I did not know that.
During the break, you guys should go to Bosch's desk. Right, he has a big bottle of, when I was talking to him, because I thought it was like a bottle of liquor, but right. It's cologne. And he was telling me it was like one of the first ones ever made. Like, obviously.
Can we spray it?
I don't think he's ever used it, though. What? You can't spray it, though. It's like one of those where you like open the top and then
you put some on your finger and smear it on. Yeah.
But I didn't believe it. Then I literally just looked up first cologne ever made, and that was one of the photos, and I was like, wow,
no way. So is this like super worth like a ton of money? Why does he have it on his desk, and can we play with
I've got the Ali bobblehead right on my desk, and I'm trusting nobody's gonna steal it.
Yeah, I know, but
I mean,
perfume has the highest concentration of up to 40%, while Eau de Toilette has a concentration of 15 to 20%, and there's even something
so it's half as strong.
Yeah.
Really? What?
Doesn't last as long. That's why if you want something that's going to last, you should get
perfume.
Or de perfume.
What's the difference between perfume and cologne? Cologne is usually for men, right?
I think it's just
it's the same thing, just different names. What's weaker than Eau de Toilette?
There's another thing called they just listed it here, perfume oil. That evidently is even
perfume de oil.
No, it's just called perfume oil.
Perfume oil.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the difference? When shopping for perfume, you might have encountered phrases like eau de perfume, EDP, and eau de toilette, EDT, and parfum, PARFUM. Each of these fragrance types donates a particular concentration of fragrance oil and therefore intensity. One of the primary differences is EDP, the perfume, eau de perfume, has the highest concentration, up to 40% of the fragrance concentrate.
Okay.
The Eau de Toilette has 15 to 20. Perfume PARFUM, not eau de perfume, just perfume. That cost a fortune. That's one like you could put a dot on your wrist. That's because it's 40% of the fragrance oils.
Okay. So that's very concentrated.
The eau de perfume.
Right.
Has about 15 to 20%.
Okay.
And the toilet water has 5 to 15%.
Okay.
And that affects the fragrance longevity. So
Okay.
Well, the things you learn on the
V show. Yeah.
And you can't monetize any of them. None of them are worth a damn thing.
Can you play the more you know sounder, Tanner, if you don't mind?
Oh, that's a good one. Texas says Dracar. I forgot about that.
Another one I've heard almost all of these.
Because you go through a phase in your life where it seems like everybody gives you these things for Christmas for a while until they stock up.
I had
Dracar. Boy, we got a lot of Texas.
I had a mini obsession for men. I got this really cool 3-pack of colognes that basically got me through most of middle school and high school. And then I had Adidas Moves. That was always like my go-to. And then I got that Armani in Chinatown.
But was it real or fake?
Probably fake.
I have Dylan Blue and Yves Saint Laurent, both solid.
Ooh.
Tom Ford's Tuscan Leather, though, is my favorite.
I really like Cigar. Cigar was good. You
was
got
a great
me Cigar.
Horse. I did?
No. It looks like a cigar.
Oh,
it comes in a tube.
Yeah, it's got a spray. Those are fun.
Yeah, I really like
fun
that.
Little things.
The problem is my cigar broke one time and all the oil went everywhere. That wasn't good.
What about High Karate? Oh, they used to have great commercials. High Karate?
I've never heard of High Karate.
Oh, my God. The premise of it was an over-the-counter, very inexpensive little cologne. And the idea was if you put it on, the women would go wild, and he'd have to fight them off with karate. So he'd enter a room, and all these women would just attack him. He'd be, and he'd have to it was hilarious. The commercials were hilarious.
That was kind of BOD. BOD came out like when I was in high school, and it was
another good choice.
Less of an aerosol spray and more of just a mist, and you would spray it, and girls would just attack you.
For every one guy who gets mad, you talk cologne, sports, go whatever. I'm telling you, these are the topics that get so many responses. I didn't realize how many came in while we were talking. Let me see. I can get a bunch of them here. This one says Tom Ford is the best cologne. That's the second guy who has said that. The Tom Ford leather, the over the counter stuff. He said, how can you forget Aquavelva? I'm an Aqua Velva man.
Yeah, that's classic.
Another one with Voyage. Eros Versace, very good. Sauvage, there's another one who likes it. Here's another over-the-counter, kind of over-the-counter. When you get this at the drugstore, Stetson. I forgot
about
Stetson.
No, that was the one. Stetson Untamed.
Yes.
I had Stetson Untamed.
Very good.
I did have Stetson. That was in that little value pack I had.
That's very cool. Polo Black is the best out there, Texter says.
I've heard that.
I've bought this, by the way, Texter. You are right. This is very cool. Sephora has men's fragrance, air quotes here, packs with multiple trial bottoms. Comes with a coupon to purchase a larger version if you like it. That's a great way to
try
it.
That is a good idea.
You get, like, I don't know how many come in there.
I need to go do that because I got to step up. Now I want to step up my smell game.
Yeah, me too. Texter says Old Spice. Very good.
No one said Axe Body Spray.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, dude, it's not middle school anymore. We're all grown-ups.
I can't reach the knobs on the radio, so I can't weigh in on that.
The high school locker room smelling like Axe because everyone was too scared to shower.
Do you remember, like, did you ever go on, like, a sleepaway, like, hockey camp?
Yeah.
Oh, man, dude. When we were, it was always someone would have Axe, and they would just get duct tape. And if you didn't like a kid... Thankfully, I was friends with a lot of kids at my camps. You would just throw in a duct taped Axe spray bottle.
Oh, it'd be
bottle,
like a smoke grenade, yeah.
And, oh, man, people were pissed.
See, we would always spray it on a table and then light it on fire. That was kind of our thing.
All right, I didn't know you're a Bills fan.
this one says, let's see, John Varvatos.
John Varvatos. John Varvatos.
Okay.
He makes good pants if you're skinny.
Cool Water. Somebody mentioned that. We've had that mentioned a couple of times. Cool Water. But another one, another guy weighing in on Black, Polo Black is the best. We've had about three people say that's their favorite. I had that at one time. Polo Black. But I'm telling you, a lot of votes for Polo Black.
We're gonna have to get Polo Black. I can't remember what the other colognes that Rummage has, but Rummage.
I'm
gonna
look it up.
Good.
Is Polo Black? I go by certain types. If it's fruity, I want musky. Or like, I don't know, I guess it's not a better word, like it's almost flowery. I don't like woodsy or fruity. So let's go see.
You don't like woodsy? Okay.
No.
I don't mind woodsy, but I prefer sporty and I guess musky.
Polo Black, here we go, here's the definition of how they describe it. A bold fusion of iced mango, silver armoise, and patchouli noir. It sounds like, do you wear it or eat it?
Seriously, that sounds delicious.
The top notes. Oh, this is people do amaze me. You know, you can make your own cologne in the Bahamas.
We did that.
Yeah,
Evening that in the Bahamas. I named
sand.
It.
What'd you call it?
I named it Evening in the Bahamas.
Nice work.
I was five, and I came up with that.
Nice going. That was very strong for a 5-year-old.
That's what I'm saying. What happened?
Like top notes. Mango, tangerine, and lemon. See, maybe too fruity for me. Middle notes. Hey, middle notes, tonka bean and sage.
Hey, what's tonka bean smell like?
Me.
Like tonka trucks? Like
base
steel?
Notes, sandalwood and patchouli.
Tonka bean.
What the hell is patchouli, by the way?
I've heard of it.
Patchouli is a plant. It's just a plant. I don't know. It's a flowering plant. Oh, it's got a mint scent to it, and I don't think. I'm sorry, folks. I know you love it, but I don't think.
Tonka bean.
Oh, I forgot about
have
this.
Have a strong fragrance similar to sweet woodruff.
British sterling. I forgot about British sterling.
Nah, I've not heard of that one.
Oh, that's good. English leather.
I was about to say English leather. Yeah. I had that one. I had Old English.
Over-the-counter pulse by Adidas.
No. Well, no. I think I did have that, but the one I had the most of. Throughout middle school and high school was Adidas Moves.
You can't hardly find it anymore, but Sean John. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, yeah. That one was really popular for a while. In college, a lot of kids had that.
I don't know why. This is not a joke, is it? Robbie Valentine wears Jupe. J-O-O-P.
I thought you said Bobby Valentine, and then I just had a flashback of him being the manager of the Red Sox, and I did not like
it. He was the manager of the Red Sox?
For a year, and...
That's not worked out, I assume.
Oh, no. And then we got John Farrell. Then we won a championship. And then he fell off. And then we
Bobby is a very, very unusual and interesting guy.
Worked Bobby Valentine?
Oh, yeah. He has a place at the airport in, right, literally at the airport in Hartford. adjacent to the off-track betting place, Bobby V's. I used to take pictures and tell people it was my restaurant. It's his restaurant. He ran and won the mayor of some town where he lives in Connecticut. I don't know if you know that. He was the mayor. He had a restaurant there, and he had a restaurant at the airport. He claims to have invented something that I think is ridiculous. I mean, it's not the cheeseburger, but it's like something like that. I was the first person to make a cheeseburger like Bobby Staub. But he also is so brilliant. He was one of those guys. He's annoyingly curious, which I can be. I get it for the listeners. And so
same.
He managed in Japan and learned how to speak Japanese within a year and a half.
That is awesome.
He could do interviews. That's
one of the hardest languages to learn. Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah, they said when they did games, they would fly and they'll come across something. I'm making something up because it's not like this, but like he would see a new baggage distribution thing at the airport, and he'd want to talk to the baggage people.
He lost the election to become mayor of his hometown, Stamford.
I thought he won.
To Caroline Simmons, who was the first elected or female elected mayor.
Oh.
But he did. He was the athletic director at Sacred Heart.
That's right.
I remember him. He gets fired, and then it was like, all right, whatever. And then he pops up back in the news, and I was like, dude, no, he's not coming back to the MLB. And then it was, oh, he's the AD at Sacred Heart.
But he would, like I said, he'd ask about anything, and then he would understand. But when time was done, he'd know. He could explain to you how it works. Let me explain how this baggage claim system works.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He's very brilliant guy, but annoyingly know-it-all-ish to a degree.
He managed the Mets to the Subway Series.
Yes, he got him in the series. No, he's a brilliant guy. Other ones coming in here. CK1, very good. Calvin Klein one,
yeah.
Spice Bomb by Victor Rolfe. Don't know that one.
I need Mom to steal some of these.
Poco Rabon, 1 million. Don't even joke about that because that's one of the things that gets ripped off in department stores more than anything else.
Oh, I was just kidding. I was 100% kidding.
Poco Rabon, 1 million is amazing. Is amazing cologne. Avon always had some interesting scents.
Yeah.
I don't know what Innumerable by Avon. That's Dolce & Gabbana, the one. Seriously, I get a compliment from women almost every time I wear polo black. Okay, I may try that then. Try if that's the case, you better stay away from High Karate because they're going to go. I got to see if I can find an old.
Yeah,
high
I was
going
to say I
want
to see a
you.
Commercial for High Karate. All right,
so we'll look for that, and you'll listen to this, and we'll come back.
Matt McGavick will join us talk a little bit UofL football spring game at 2:15 because that's going on tonight. We'll take you down the stretch. V Show Fast Break Friday presented by LA1, Kentucky's original ginger soft drink since 1926.